I'm here.
Here it is, another Saturday morning at CCULN when we talk cars or problems with your car, your truck, your van, whatever the case may be, and you would like to kind of find out what may be ailing. You can just ask by phone or text. ASE certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Good morning to you, Nick.
Good morning, Denny.
How are you? How was your week?
You know, the weather was perfect. If we can keep this going for another couple months, I'd be happy.
You'd like that. You and a lot of other folks. I know you guys are busy there at Lloyd's for good reason. People, do you think people are taking care of their cars better, or is it just that there are just more of them now and they need some work?
It's probably a balance between the two. I think, the world is a little uncertainty. You know, we don't know about the economy and such. So I think people realize that they need to take care of what they have. Going out and buying a new vehicle now is quite costly, and rates are high, and there's a lot of things kind of pushing us away from that. So I think people are realizing, I think the average age of a car is over 12 years now on the road. So I think if you maintain what you have, you can get a really long life out of it.
And we've talked about it for years, and it certainly seems like it. Not like the old days. Cars seem to be lasting longer now.
Yeah, 100%. I think with advancements in vehicles, and I think a lot of the parts that we see, they're better quality with engineering, machining, and such. So, you know, if you're ready for a new car, by all means, you should go buy one. But if you're considering, should you repair the one that you have and keep it going? The answer is probably yes. I mean, there's no, you know, short of needing an engine or some catastrophic multi-thousand-dollar repair on an old vehicle, it's a hard sell to say, you know, I should replace this car with a new one just simply because it's broken.
Yeah. If you have, again, any problems with your vehicle and you need to bring it in for service and you might want to know what the heck could be wrong with it before you get there, call or text Nick and do so earlier rather than later. We like to say that because Nick will be taking his leave here about 7:45. So we have about a little over a half hour from now to go. So don't wait. Love to hear from you either by phone or by text. 651-461-9226. You don't have to be a motorhead either. If you drive a car and having problems with it, let us know if you have an issue. 651-461-9226. Text came in a bit ago. It says, hi, Denny and Nick. I enjoy your car care show. Thank you. Great information. Thank you for that. My driver's side seat belt is not fully engaging or clicking. Also, the dash light for the seat belt does not come on. My question is, do you recommend a specialty auto repair shop, or can any shop fix this issue?
I would think something like that, your regular shop should be able to handle it. And you should make an appointment soon. If that seat belt's not buckling, obviously, you know, if you're in an accident or an incident there, that's not going to hold you safe. So you should get that looked at. Also, inquire about that light not being on. That's a little more concerning, too. If you start the vehicle, if the light is on, you know, a lot of times it might flash a few times as a self-check. But if you don't see that light illuminate at all, I'd be concerned about the airbag system also. So when you bring that vehicle in, you know, visually they need to look at the seatbelt buckle, but also have them take a look into that diagnostic connector there and see if there's something going on with the airbag system also.
I know we've had questions over the years, Nick, about seats. Let's just look at the driver's side seat, how you can use the lever and the motor will move it forward or back and all these other things, lumbar support. Sometimes those seats get stuck, and I know that you guys have repaired those that problem at Lloyd's. What can happen to make that seat not move forward or back? I've often thought that somebody dropped a couple of quarters or something down in the track and it made it stuck. But what usually is the problem there?
I think your response is most likely, I mean, we do have motors that go bad, and sometimes there's cables that might fray or get jammed up, but oftentimes there's some sort of blockage, whether it be quarters or something else that might be caught on that track, not allowing that seat to move forward and back. So careful not to do that, because the next piece of it is, if it gets too caught up underneath there, you might have to remove the whole seat channel to gain access, and that can be quite time consuming, which can be costly. So if you drop something, remember to pick it up before it gets stuck underneath the seat.
I think you guys repaired one of my old vehicles many years ago because of that. I can't remember what the issue was. But, yeah, I think whoever had to take out the whole seat and kind of start over. But thank goodness that doesn't happen often. Let's grab a phone call, Nick. Steve is calling in this morning from, I believe, Savage, Minnesota this morning. Steve, thank you. What is your question for Nick?
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm looking at picking up a used car here this weekend. And I suspect it might have been a rebuild of some sort or probably a water-damaged car. The thing seems to run, though. So what should I look for? What should I, investigate to make sure that it's a decent car to buy and not a piece of junk I should skip? Thanks.
Yes, Steve's call was broken up a little bit, Steve, but I think you got most of the message, Nick. What would you recommend for Steve?
So what I would say is be very, very careful. You know, there's been times when there's been things in other parts of the country where there's some storm surge or some sort of water damage or something has been flooded. And I caution you there because visually things might look okay. But keep in mind, more and more vehicles on the road now will have computers or modules even in the floor of the vehicle. So during your inspection, even if we inspect it, we don't see that. We're not removing the seats, pulling the carpet up to look at the floorboard to see what it looks like. One thing I would suggest, though, is if, you know, get down on your hands and knees, look underneath the seat, look at the metal framing, look up under the dash, look at the where the gas pedal and the brake pedal kind of mount to the firewall there. Look at those areas. If those areas are excessively rusty or there's lots of corrosion, that's a good sign that there's moisture elsewhere, which can do. Look at those areas. If those areas are excessively rusty or there's lots of corrosion, that's a good sign that there's moisture elsewhere, which can do the same thing to wiring, connections, computers. And you might not have a problem today, but you might end up with some really random ghost-type problems, not as extreme as the car not running, but maybe your lights don't work or something else. So I'd be very cautious before I'd ever buy a vehicle that had been flooded.
All right. Good luck, Steve, with that. Any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you either by phone, like Steve, or send a text if that's easier. 651-461-9226. Nick Mary sent a text, does not say what kind of a vehicle it is, but it looks like, I haven't heard about this in a long time. Can't go from park to drive, it's stuck. I have seen that. What can cause that? What's the remedy?
We also see that. It could be something such as the brake pedal switch, and let me explain that. So when you try to put the vehicle from park into any gear, as a safety setting, you need to depress the brake pedal so therefore the car knows it's not going to just go rolling around. Well, there's a switch that can tell when you're depressing that pedal. If that switch isn't operating properly and that signal's not getting back to the computer, it's not going to release the shifter to allow it to go out of park. So, you know, a simple thing you can do at home is, you know, start the vehicle, depress the brake pedal, have somebody go behind the vehicle and see if the brake lights are coming on. If they're not coming on, there's our first likely issue. If they are coming on, then we start to look at some of the solenoids and such in the shifter. They're not allowing it to release to allow it to move between gears.
So you have seen that once in a while, eh? Still?
Oh, absolutely.
Huh. All right. Hang on, Nick. I'm getting a signal here. We need to take a break, a quick one. Just a reminder, Nick will be leaving us for Jack Farrell's show about 7:45. So don't wait. If you have any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. We'll be back with more car care here on News Talk 830 WCCO. 71 degrees on our way to 81. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, for again, we always like to give more information for folks that might need the help from you and your crew at Lloyd's. How do we find you guys?
Absolutely here. So if you have a question, need to give us a call, you can reach us at 651-228-1316. If you happen to be on Grand Avenue in St. Paul, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And as always, please check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good. And right now, if you have any kind of a car care question, call us or text us. 651-461-9226. We have both this morning, Nick, calls and texts. In fact, let's grab a phone call. I think Tim's calling in from Blaine this morning. Tim, good morning. What is your question? You're first up.
Thanks for having me. I have a 2011 Ford F-150, and I paid for brakes, brake pads, and rotors, and I spent almost $1,000, and they just keep squeaking, you know, it to the point of people looking, going, wow, what, you know, what's wrong with those brakes? I'm really frustrated. I've brought it back to the place that I've had them repaired, and they say there's nothing wrong with them.
Well, that's frustrating. You know, I would, couple things there. The two likely causes for that on new brakes for them to make noise is, and it happens to us too, you know, and I hope it's unfortunate they won't help you out there, but it can be the material of the pads themselves. You know, we do a lot of brake jobs, go through lots and lots of sets of brakes. Every so often you might get a set that the chemistry or the makeup of the pad is just as such that it, you know, there's semi-metallic, there's some ceramic, there's a lot of different materials into that pad. And when they contact the rotor, they can maybe make a squealing type noise. And that does happen. The other thing that can happen, too, is when you're performing the brake job, when we disassemble everything, you have to be very careful to carefully clean, you know, get it with the file, get it with the scraper, get all the corrosion and all the stuff that's built up after thousands of miles and years of driving, get that out of the way because you need to allow those pads to freely move in the slides of the caliper. So we take our time, we make sure we clean it all really well, lubricate, and then the hardware that holds the pads typically comes new with the pads. So if that's not the case, you need to have new hardware. So, you know, I would hope if you brought it back when it was making the noise, they rode with you, they would identify that and stand behind their work. You know, I don't know, and I don't need to know necessarily the place that you're going. You know, the alternative is you find out maybe where they got the parts from. You find that vendor, and maybe they can refer you to somebody that can help you with that, too. I just don't have an easy answer for you, but you shouldn't have to have that. If you just paid that kind of money to have brakes done on the vehicle, they should work properly, and they should be quiet.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they really should take care of that customer. I mean, brakes aren't supposed to, you know, brand-new brakes are not supposed to squeak. And I know it can happen, but I know it's repairable. At least I've seen it happen in my life. So,
well, Denny, with your car, we had that, didn't we?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but the brakes, they work fine. But every so often, especially maybe putting it in reverse, never forward in my case. But it was you and Dan, we worked on it, and I think it took a couple of tries, but it finally did, and that was a long time ago, and there's not been a squeak since. So, well, I think it's just the right combination, like you said.
Well, that's the point. You know, you got to take care of people, you know, and it's frustrating because, you know, you spend a lot of money and your expectations are it should be right. And oftentimes we do repairs on vehicle and people could spend $1,000, you know, example being a timing belt. When you leave with the vehicle, it drives the same. You don't know what you got for your money.
Yeah.
Well, brakes, you should know. You should feel that. It should be quiet. It should work properly. So I think it's fair to take that back again, have that noise happening. When you do, have them ride with you and have them tell you there's nothing wrong. I don't think that should happen.
No, I agree. Good luck. Another phone call. Nancy, I think, is checking in this morning with us from Brooklyn Center. Hi, Nancy. What is your question for Nick?
Hi. I have a headlight out, and I'm wondering if it's possible for me to be able to change that myself on a 2011 Nissan Rogue.
Maybe. You know, I don't know the way they're all designed and put together. I would tell you, you know, first with opening the hood, take a look at that. The headlight is inserted from the back of the capsule of the headlight assembly. So if that's clearly visible, that's step one. I would tell you to get online, watch some videos, make sure you're comfortable. Make sure what they're doing makes sense to you. You know, watch the video a couple times, go out to the vehicle, take a look at it a couple times. And if it seems straightforward where you're kind of just twisting a locking ring, you're pulling the light out, you plug one in, a new one in, and put it back in, absolutely. That being said, sometimes you might have to remove the battery or remove some other things, and if you're not comfortable doing that, I would suggest you not. The headlight itself might be a simple repair, but inadvertently in trying to do that, you could create a problem where all of a sudden the car's not running because the battery's not properly reinstalled, or the air duct that might run the, or feed the air to the engine isn't properly reassembled. So you could inadvertently create a problem that could make it stuck. So take your time, watch a video or two, look at the vehicle, and by all means, if you're comfortable doing it, I think you should try. One last note, though, do not touch the glass of the bulb. Those halogen bulbs are very sensitive to the oil from your skin, so if you touch the glass with your fingers, some of that oil from your skin will get on there. You'll get the light installed, and it will burn out in short time because that oil will etch into the glass from the heat and cause the bulb to go out.
How about that? Yeah, it might be easy, it might be difficult. You might have to take the bumper off or the front end. I've seen that, too. So, good luck with that, Nancy. Good luck. I was going to grab another text, but let's do that. Let's take a break for weather. And when we come back, we'll pick up on some of the listeners' text messages. Any kind of a car care question, call it in, text it in, 651-461-9226. From Newstalk 830, this is WCCO. And good morning once again. Welcome back to the remaining minutes of our car care show. We are here, by the way, every Saturday right after the 7 o'clock news break, answering any kind of a car care question you may have. Is ASE certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, a bunch of text messages. Let's see how many folks we can help before you take your leave. Enjoy the show. Thank you. Texter says, 2017 GMC Acadia. I know I need to replace my brake pads and rotors, but I have noticed that there's some shaking when I get the RPMs up to about 2,000. Any idea what could be causing that shaking?
Well, that's going to depend a couple things. If you're moving and the vehicle's shaking, I would think that as you're driving, something that's rotating could be the brakes, could be a tire. If it's something where you're stationary and like you're sitting in the driveway and you're revving the motor and it seems to be shaking, maybe you have a motor mount or a misfire. So there's lots of directions that could take you. I would say when you bring in to have those brakes replaced, mention that, maybe have them take it for a test drive, see if they experience that shaking, they can give you a little more information on that.
All right, very good. 2021 Ford Expedition Platinum. It has automatic running boards that deploy when the tires are open and closed, not fires. When the doors are open and closed, in order to maintain them functioning properly over time, what kind of lubricant is best to use? How often should I apply it? I'm assuming, Texter says, I should spray some sort of silicone spray or something onto the moving mechanism. What do you think is the best product to use, and is that the procedure?
I do know you need to keep them clean first and foremost. So instead of just spraying something on there where you can collect more dirt and grime and maybe make it more stiff for them to operate, keep them clean for sure. Wash them out the best you can. And then I would probably refer you to the dealer on what product they want you to use. If there's any kind of warranty on those parts, you want to make sure that you're following their protocol. In the event that there's a problem with it, you don't want to have the response being, well, because you were doing this, the warranty doesn't cover it. So I would contact the dealership, say, hey, I have these running boards, I got a little warranty left, I want to keep them working properly, what can I spray on them to keep them working as they should? And hopefully they have a response for you. But I do know keeping them clean, keeping all the grime and the dirt out of those hinges is a really important thing to do.
Yeah, I would imagine. All right. Let's see. Next, time is running short here, but see how many folks we can help. 2013 Toyota Highlander, the steering column does not feel smooth when turning. I can feel a slight clicking feeling in the steering wheel. Any suggestions?
Well, obviously something between the steering wheel and the tires is binding or is worn. So that's important. You need to have that assessed and look at. It could be something as simple as lubricating a component or a pivot point, or it could be the fact that there's something worn far enough that you're feeling it in the steering column, which could be pretty significant. So I would tell this texter to get on somebody's schedule, get that looked at to see what is loose or worn creating that sensation in the car, because that should not be and I would be concerned enough where I'd make the appointment sooner than later.
There's another vibrating question, Nick. It doesn't say what kind of vehicle it is, but it just says a question about my car. It's vibrating at higher speeds, around 55 to 60 miles an hour. However, the steering wheel does not shake. I've recently had the tires balanced. Do you have any thought of what could be the problem? So it's vibrating, but the steering wheel is not shaking.
So if they balance the tires to resolve this and still doing it, it might seem silly, but I would try rotating the tires to see if that vibration maybe doesn't go away but changes. You know, we need to start doing a couple things to try to pinpoint or eliminate some options. So if you have a vibration, it's something rotating. So is it a tire, a wheel? Is it like a brake rotor? Is it a wheel bearing? Something like that is where I think that we're headed, maybe a drive axle. But we need to start eliminating some things. So you had the tires balanced. Okay, I would try having them rotated, drive it before and after, and see if it changes. If it's exactly the same, well, now we can eliminate the tires and kind of start working our way that way and hopefully get to a better pinpoint. There's other ways to check axles and such. So I would, one step at a time, start eliminating things and hopefully get to the bottom of it.
I'm trying to, there's not obviously enough information, but it almost sounds like, if I'm trying to interpret this, that this vibration started after they had the tires balanced. I mean, could that have, I mean, if you don't put the weights on properly or at all, I mean, can that be an issue, do you think?
100%, and not just not putting the weights on properly, but if the wheel is not mounted to the balancer properly, and it happens. And I don't want to say anyone did something wrong, because we're human and things do happen. So I would, if it started since balancing of the tires, take it back, have them rebalance them, you know, make, you know, due diligence, put the wheels back on the vehicle, make sure they torque the wheels, all the proper procedures, drive it again, and see if that doesn't resolve that problem.
All right, excellent. Nick, we're just about out of time. In fact, we are out of time. Let's tell the folks how we can get in touch with Lloyd's Automotive.
As always, you can reach us at 651-228-1316. And if you're on Grand having lunch or going for a stroll, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And please do check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Boy, that is a nice avenue for a stroll or lunch. Absolutely. You're so lucky to kind of work in that neighborhood, aren't you?
Well, 100%.
Yeah. All right, Nick. Have a good week. Thanks for the help today, and we'll connect next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Denny.
You betcha. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Yeah, get those car care questions ready. The lawn and garden questions ready. All of our information shows are coming at you on Saturday morning. Now, of course, coming up next, Jack Farrell's Wine Chat. And then I can give you a hint that Mary Meyer from the U of M, along with John Trappi, our turf expert, are both going to be joining us next hour. So if you have any kind of a lawn care question, you're in luck. Some good help, of course, next hour on our Smart Garden Show. Get those questions ready here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO.
I'm here.
Here it is another Saturday morning at CCOLN when we talk cars or problems with your car, your truck, your van, whatever the case may be, and you would like to kind of find out what may be ailing, you can just ask by phone or text. ASE Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Good morning to you, Nick.
Good morning, Denny.
How are you? How was your week?
You know, the weather was perfect. If we can keep this going for another couple months, I'd be happy.
You'd like that, you and a lot of other folks. I know you guys are busy there at Lloyd's for good reason. People, do you think people are taking care of their cars better, or is it just that they're just more of them now and they need some work?
It's probably a balance between the two. I think, you know, the world is a little uncertainty. You know, we don't know about the economy and such. So I think people realize that they need to take care of what they have. Going out and buying a new vehicle now is quite costly, and rates are high, and there's a lot of things kind of pushing us away from that. So I think people are realizing, I think the average age of a car is over 12 years now on the road. So I think if you maintain what you have, you can get a really long life out of it.
And we've talked about it for years, and it certainly seems like it. Not like the old days. Cars seem to be lasting longer now.
Yeah, 100%. I think with advancements in vehicles, and I think a lot of the parts that we see, they're better quality with engineering, machining, and such. So, you know, if you're ready for a new car, by all means, you should go buy one. But if you're considering, should you repair the one that you have and keep it going? The answer is probably yes. I mean, there's no, you know, short of needing an engine or some catastrophic multi-thousand-dollar repair on an old vehicle, it's a hard sell to say, you know, I should replace this car with a new one just simply because it's broken.
Yeah. If you have, again, any problems with your vehicle and you need to bring it in for service and you might want to know what the heck could be wrong with it before you get there, call or text Nick and do so earlier rather than later. We like to say that because Nick will be taking his leave here about 7:45. So we have about a little over a half hour from now to go. So don't wait. Love to hear from you either by phone or by text. 651-461-9226. You don't have to be a motorhead either. If you drive a car and having problems with it, let us know if you have an issue. 651-461-9226. Text came in a bit ago. It says, hi, Denny and Nick. I enjoy your car care show. Thank you. Great information. Thank you for that. My driver's side seat belt is not fully engaging or clicking. Also, the dash light for the seat belt does not come on. My question is, do you recommend a specialty auto repair shop or can any shop fix this issue?
I would think something like that, your regular shop should be able to handle it. And you should make an appointment soon. If that seat belt's unbuckling, obviously, you know, if you're in an accident or an incident there, that's not going to hold you safe. So you should get that looked at. Also, inquire about that light not being on. That's a little more concerning, too. If you start the vehicle, if the light is on, you know, a lot of times it might flash a few times as a self-check. But if you don't see that light illuminate at all, I'd be concerned about the airbag system also. So when you bring that vehicle in, you know, visually they need to look at the seatbelt buckle, but also have them take a look into that diagnostic connector there and see if there's something going on with the airbag system also.
I know we've had questions over the years, Nick, about seats. Let's just look at the driver's side seat, how you can use the lever and the motor will move it forward or back and all these other things, lumbar support. Sometimes those seats get stuck, and I know that you guys have repaired those that problem at Lloyd's. What can happen to make that seat not move forward or back? I've often thought that somebody dropped a couple of quarters or something down in the track and it made it stuck. But what usually is the problem there?
I think your response is most likely, I mean, we do have motors that go bad and sometimes there's cables that might fray or get jammed up, but oftentimes there's some sort of blockage, whether it be quarters or something else that might be caught on that track, not allowing that seat to move forward and back. So careful not to do that, because the next piece of it is if it gets too caught up underneath there, you might have to remove the whole seat channel to gain access, and that can be quite time consuming, which can be costly. So if you drop something, remember to pick it up before it gets stuck underneath the seat.
I think you guys repaired one of my old vehicles many years ago because of that. I can't remember what the issue was, but yeah, I think whoever had to take out the whole seat and kind of start over. But thank goodness that doesn't happen often. Let's grab a phone call, Nick. Steve is calling in this morning from, I believe, Savage, Minnesota this morning. Steve, thank you. What is your question for Nick?
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm looking at picking up a used car here this weekend, and I suspect it might have been a rebuild of some sort or probably a water-damaged car. The things run, though. So what should I look for? What should I investigate to make sure that it's a decent car to buy and not a piece of junk I should skip? Thanks.
Yes, Steve's call was broken up a little bit, Steve, but I think you got most of the message, Nick. What would you recommend for Steve?
So what I would say is be very, very careful. You know, there's been times when there's been things in other parts of the country where there's some storm surge or some sort of water damage or something that's been flooded. And I caution you there because visually things might look okay. But keep in mind, more and more vehicles on the road now will have computers or modules even in the floor of the vehicle. So during your inspection, even if we inspect it, we don't see that. We're not removing the seats, pulling the carpet up to look at the floorboard to see what it looks like. One thing I would suggest, though, is that, you know, get down on your hands and knees. Look underneath the seat. Look at the metal framing. Look up under the dash. Look at the where the gas pedal and the brake pedal kind of mount to the firewall there. Look at those areas. If those areas are excessively rusty or there's lots of corrosion, that's a good sign that there's moisture elsewhere, which can do. Look at those areas. If those areas are excessively rusty or there's lots of corrosion, that's a good sign that there's moisture elsewhere, which can do the same thing to wiring, connections, computers. And you might not have a problem today, but you might end up with some really random ghost-type problems, not as extreme as the car not running, but maybe your lights don't work or something else. So I'd be very cautious before I'd ever buy a vehicle that had been flooded.
All right. Good luck, Steve, with that. Any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you either by phone, like Steve, or send a text if that's easier. 651-461-9226. Nick Mary sent a text, does not say what kind of a vehicle it is, but it looks like, well, I haven't heard about this in a long time. Can't go from park to drive, it's stuck. I have seen that. What can cause that? What's the remedy?
We also see that. It could be something such as the brake pedal switch, and let me explain that. So when you try to put the vehicle from park into any gear, as a safety setting, you need to depress the brake pedal so therefore the car knows it's not going to just go rolling around. Well, there's a switch that can tell when you're depressing that pedal. If that switch isn't operating properly and that signal's not getting back to the computer, it's not going to release the shifter to allow it to go out of park. So, you know, a simple thing you can do at home is, you know, start the vehicle, depress the brake pedal, have somebody go behind the vehicle and see if the brake lights are coming on. If they're not coming on, there's our first likely issue. If they are coming on, then we start to look at some of the solenoids and such in the shifter. They're not allowing it to release to allow it to move between gears.
So you have seen that once in a while, eh? Still?
Oh, absolutely.
Huh. All right. Hang on, Nick. I'm getting a signal here. We need to take a break, a quick one. Just a reminder, Nick will be leaving us for Jack Farrell's show about 7:45. So don't wait. If you have any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. We'll be back with more car care here on News Talk 830 WCCO. 71 degrees on our way to 81. Had a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, for again, we always like to give more information for folks that might need the help from you and your crew at Lloyd's. How do we find you guys?
Absolutely here. So if you have a question, need to give us a call, you can reach us at 651-228-1316. If you happen to be on Grand Avenue in St. Paul, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And as always, please check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good. And right now, if you have any kind of a car care question, call us or text us, 651-461-9226. We have both this morning, Nick, calls and texts. In fact, let's grab a phone call. I think Tim's calling in from Blaine this morning. Tim, good morning. What is your question? You're first up.
Thanks for having me. I have a 2011 Ford F-150, and I paid for brakes, brake pads, and rotors, and I spent almost $1,000, and they just keep squeaking, you know, it to the point of people looking, going, wow, what, you know, what's wrong with those brakes? I'm really frustrated. I've brought it back to the place that I've had them repaired, and they say there's nothing wrong with them.
Well, that's frustrating. You know, I would, couple things there. The two likely causes for that on new brakes for them to make noise is, and it happens to us too, you know, and I hope it's unfortunate they won't help you out there, but it can be the material of the pads themselves. You know, we do a lot of brake jobs, go through lots and lots of sets of brakes. Every so often you might get a set that the chemistry or the makeup of the pad is just as such that it, you know, there's semi-metallic, there's some ceramic, there's a lot of different materials into that pad. And when they contact the rotor, they can maybe make a squealing type noise. And that does happen. The other thing that can happen, too, is when you're performing the brake job, when we disassemble everything, you have to be very careful to clean, carefully clean, you know, get it with the file, get it with the scraper, get all the corrosion and all the stuff that's built up after thousands of miles and years of driving, get that out of the way, because you need to allow those pads to freely move in the slides of the caliper. So we take our time, we make sure we clean it all really well, lubricate, and then the hardware that holds the pads typically comes new with the pads. So if that's not the case, you need to have new hardware. So, you know, I would hope if you brought it back when it was making the noise, they rode with you, they would identify that and stand behind their work. You know, I don't know, and I don't need to know necessarily the place that you're going. The alternative is you find out maybe where they got the parts from. You find that vendor, and maybe they can refer you to somebody that can help you with that too. I just don't have an easy answer for you, but you shouldn't have to have that. If you just paid that kind of money to have brakes done on the vehicle, they should work properly, and they should be quiet.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they really should take care of that customer. I mean, brakes aren't supposed to, you know, brand new brakes are not supposed to squeak. And I know it can happen, but I know it's repairable. At least I've seen it happen in my life. So,
well, Denny, with your car, we had that, didn't we?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but the brakes, they work fine. But every so often, especially maybe putting it in reverse, never forward in my case. But it was you and Dan, we worked on it, and I think it took a couple of tries, but it finally did, and that was a long time ago, and there's not been a squeak since. So well, I think it's just the right combination, like you said.
Well, that's the point. You know, you got to take care of people, you know, and it's frustrating because, you know, you spend a lot of money, and your expectations are it should be right. And oftentimes we do repairs on vehicle, and people can spend $1,000, you know, example being a timing belt. When you leave with the vehicle, it drives the same. You don't know what you got for your money.
Yeah.
Well, brakes, you should know. You should feel that. It should be quiet. It should work properly. So I think it's fair to take that back again, have that noise happening when you do, have them ride with you and have them tell you there's nothing wrong. I don't think that should happen.
No, I agree. Good luck. Another phone call. Nancy, I think, is checking in this morning with us from Brooklyn Center. Hi, Nancy. What is your question for Nick?
Hi. I have a headlight out, and I'm wondering if it's possible for me to be able to change that myself on a 2011 Nissan Rogue.
Maybe. You know, I don't know the way they're all designed and put together. I would tell you, you know, first with opening the hood, take a look at that. The headlight is inserted from the back of the capsule of the headlight assembly. So if that's clearly visible, that's step one. I would tell you to get online, watch some videos, make sure you're comfortable. Make sure what they're doing makes sense to you. You know, watch the video a couple times, go out to the vehicle, take a look at it a couple times. And if it seems straightforward where you're kind of just twisting a locking ring, you're pulling the light out, you plug one in, a new one in, and put it back in, absolutely. That being said, sometimes you might have to remove the battery or remove some other things, and if you're not comfortable doing that, I would suggest you not. The headlight itself might be a simple repair, but inadvertently, in trying to do that, you could create a problem where all of a sudden the car's not running because the battery's not properly reinstalled, or the air duct that might run or feed the air to the engine isn't properly reassembled. So you could inadvertently create a problem that could make it stuck. So take your time, watch a video or two, look at the vehicle, and by all means, if you're comfortable doing it, I think you should try. One last note, though, do not touch the glass of the bulb. Those halogen bulbs are very sensitive to the oil from your skin. So if you touch the glass with your fingers, some of that oil from your skin will get on there. You'll get the light installed, and it will burn out in short time because that oil will etch into the glass from the heat and cause the bulb to go out.
How about that? Yeah, that it might be easy. It might be difficult. You might have to take the bumper off or the front end. I've seen that too. So, good luck with that, Nancy. Good luck. You know, I was going to grab another text, but let's do that. Let's take a break for weather. And when we come back, we'll pick up on some of the listeners' text messages. Any kind of a car care question, call it in, text it in, 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. And good morning once again. Welcome back to the remaining minutes of our car care show. We are here, by the way, every Saturday right after the 7 o'clock news break, answering any kind of a car care question you may have. Is ASE certified technician Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, a bunch of text messages. Let's see how many folks we can help before you take your leave. Enjoy the show. Thank you. Texter says, 2017 GMC Acadia. I know I need to replace my brake pads and rotors, but I have noticed that there's some shaking when I get the RPMs up to about 2,000. Any idea what could be causing that shaking?
Well, that's going to depend a couple of things. If you're moving and the vehicle's shaking, I would think that as you're driving, something that's rotating could be the brakes, could be a tire. If it's something where you're stationary and like you're sitting in the driveway and you're revving the motor and it seems to be shaking, maybe you have a motor mount or a misfire. So there's lots of directions that could take you. I would say when you bring in to have those brakes replaced, mention that, you know, maybe have them take it for a test drive, see if they experience that shaking. They can give you a little more information on that.
All right, very good. 2021 Ford Expedition Platinum. It has automatic running boards that deploy when the tires are open and closed, not fires. When the doors are open and closed, in order to maintain them functioning properly over time, what kind of lubricant is best to use? How often should I apply it? I'm assuming, Texter says, I should spray some sort of silicone spray or something onto the moving mechanism. What do you think is the best product to use, and is that the procedure?
I do know you need to keep them clean first and foremost. So instead of just spraying something on there where you can collect more dirt and grime and maybe make it more stiff for them to operate, keep them clean for sure. You know, wash them out the best you can. And then I would probably refer you to the dealer on what product they want you to use. If there's any kind of warranty on those parts, you want to make sure that you're following their protocol. In the event that there's a problem with it, you don't want to have the response being, well, because you were doing this, the warranty doesn't cover it. So I would contact the dealership, say, hey, I have these running boards. I got a little warranty left. I want to keep them working properly. What can I spray on them to keep them working as they should? And hopefully they have a response for you. But I do know keeping them clean, keeping all the grime and the dirt out of those hinges is a really important thing to do.
Yeah, I would imagine. All right. Let's see. Next, time is running short here, but see how many folks we can help. 2013 Toyota Highlander, the steering column does not feel smooth when turning. I can feel a slight clicking feeling in the steering wheel. Any suggestions?
Well, obviously something between the steering wheel and the tires is binding or is worn. So that's important. You need to have that assessed and look at. It could be something as simple as lubricating a component or a pivot point, or it could be the fact that there's something worn far enough that you're feeling it in the steering column, which could be pretty significant. So I would tell this texter to get on somebody's schedule, get that looked at to see what is loose or worn creating that sensation in the car, because that should not be. And I would be concerned enough where I'd make the appointment sooner than later.
There's another vibrating question, Nick. It doesn't say what kind of vehicle it is, but it just says a question about my car. It's vibrating at higher speeds, around 55 to 60 miles an hour. However, the steering wheel does not shake. I've recently had the tires balanced. Do you have any thought of what could be the problem? So it's vibrating, but the steering wheel is not shaking.
So if they balance the tires to resolve this and still doing it, it might seem silly, but I would try rotating the tires to see if that vibration maybe doesn't go away but changes. You know, we need to start doing a couple things to try to pinpoint or eliminate some options. So if you have a vibration, it's something rotating. So is it a tire, a wheel? Is it like a brake rotor? Is it a wheel bearing? Something like that is where I think that we're headed, maybe a drive axle. But we need to start eliminating some things. So you had the tires balanced. Okay, I would try having them rotated, drive it before and after, and see if it changes. If it's exactly the same, well, now we can eliminate the tires and kind of start working our way that way, and hopefully get to a better pinpoint. There's other ways to check axles and such. So I would, one step at a time, start eliminating things and hopefully get to the bottom of it.
I'm trying to, there's not obviously enough information, but it almost sounds like, if I'm trying to interpret this, that this vibration started after they had the tires balanced. I mean, could that have, I mean, if you don't put the weights on properly or at all, I mean, can that be an issue, do you think?
100%. And not just not putting the weights on properly, but if the wheel is not mounted to the balancer properly, and it happens. And I don't want to say anyone did something wrong, because we're human and things do happen. So I would, if it started since balancing of the tires, take it back, have them rebalance them. You know, make, you know, due diligence, put the wheels back on the vehicle, make sure they torque the wheels, all the proper procedures, drive it again, and see if that doesn't resolve that problem.
All right, excellent. Nick, we're just about out of time. In fact, we are out of time. Let's tell the folks how we can get in touch with Lloyd's Automotive.
As always, you can reach us at 651-228-1316. And if you're on Grand having lunch or going for a stroll, stop and say hi. We're at 982 Grand on the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. And please do check out our website at lloydsautomotive.net.
Boy, that is a nice avenue for a stroll or lunch. Absolutely. You're so lucky to kind of work in that neighborhood, aren't you?
Well, 100%.
Yeah. All right, Nick. Have a good week. Thanks for the help today, and we'll connect next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Denny.
You betcha. Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Yeah, get those car care questions ready. The lawn and garden questions ready. All of our information shows are coming at you on Saturday morning. Now, of course, coming up next, Jack Farrell's Wine Chat. And then I can give you a hint that Mary Meyer from the U of M, along with John Trappi, our turf expert, are both going to be joining us next hour. So if you have any kind of a lawn care question, you're in luck. Some good help, of course, next hour on our Smart Garden Show. Get those questions ready here on News Talk 830. This is WCCO.